We'll start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me to carry your message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're on page 85, and the last few meetings, we finished up with step 9, relationships, and then we looked at the alcoholic tornado on page 82, and how there's a long period of reconstruction, because we're a tornado, we destroy everybody in our lives, and when I thought about it, if you're a tornado and your house is destroyed, which is what we've done, we have to rebuild it. It takes a while to rebuild it. It says on 83, where it's a spiritual life, it's not a theory, I have to live it. And it says my behavior will convince them more than words. And then the next paragraph, it talks about there's some wrongs we can never make right, but we would if we could or had the opportunity. And as God's people, we stand on our feet, we don't crawl before anyone. And then there are the promises that are read all the meetings on page 83 and 84, and I went through those. And I looked at them as not just promises, but results of taking the actions in step 1 through 9 to get into a relationship with God and what I call the world of the spirit promises. Because these promises can come true in the morning and be gone in the afternoon. They have to do with God changing us, doing something to us. I learn serenity, I have peace. I see things, I feel things differently, attitudes slip away, and I realize that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Now that's where I want to be all the time. And so if I've done the work of 1 through 9, I'm at this point where I have a relationship with God. It's not just a belief, but it's a working relationship. And I've entered into a world where God's the center of the world. Now, how can anyone leave the world where God's the center of the world? Well, I did it. I did it in my mind. And I lived in Michael's world, and that's not a good place. And when I'm in Michael's world, the promises do not come true. And to leave that world took a lot of work. And now, when we get to page 84, it's how do we stay in that world? How do I stay in the world where God's my director, I work for him, I want to do his will, not mine, I want to stay out of self, and I want to be of service to him and others. And it says after the promises, it says they will always materialize if we work for them. So if you do the work up to page 84, you will enter into this new relationship with God. You're not going to enter it on page 24 when it says you have no defense against the first strait. You have to do some work. And that's the thing about this chapter. It's called Into Action. And it's not called Into Talking or Into Thinking. It's the action. And the action takes me away from the world that I was in. And I can see that I don't want to be in that world. I can see from step 4 that when I'm in that world, I'm angry, I'm fearful, and I make bad decisions and harm myself and others. And I didn't know that when I came here. And then I learned that I have prayers, and God can take me out of that world. He can take me out of anger, out of fear. And if I go to him in my relationships, he'll change the way I see the people in them and the way I react. And so that's the goal of the steps. It's not, it's a real goal to have this spiritual experience or spiritual awakening. And that's what the spiritual awakening is like. What it means is you have a relationship with God. And God's doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And when I'm in a relationship with God, it's interesting. I can see when I'm disturbed. I can see when I'm moving away from him, and he kind of zaps me. And I couldn't see that when I came in here. I thought that was normal, and it was all their fault, right? And I was in constant fear, and I didn't know why, because I was in fear, because I was relying on me. And I'm always going to have fear if I'm relying on me to live my life. And I don't want to do that anymore. And so these pages from 82 to 88, I've gone through them so many times in the last 15 years. But knowing them and reading them and doing them are two different things. But the more you know it, and the more you discuss it, the quicker it is to do it. And if you've never studied them, then you can't possibly do it. You don't know the directions. And so I encourage people to live on these pages. And so it says that then we get to step 10. This thought brings me to step 10. And it's after they read the promises that say, we'll always materialize. So something materializes if I do the work, and that brings me to this step 10, which is where I'm going to continue to take personal inventory the rest of my life. I'm going to inventory my thinking, my personality, and I'm going to watch to see when it's getting back into Michael's world. Fear, anger, bad decisions, my character defects. And I have to vigorously commence this way of living. And it says I have to set new mistakes as I go along to set right. I always thought, well, you just make amends all the time, say you're sorry. But it's mistakes in my thinking. I don't want to act on my thinking if it's self-centered, because then I'll make bad decisions and harm people and harm myself. And so I want to watch for that. And this paragraph here on page 84, I did a whole meeting on it. And I call it how you live in the now with God, how you stay in the world of the Spirit. And it gives you specific instructions on, I think, five lines. It says you watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear with God. When these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them, because I don't want to stay in that, because that's back in self. I discuss it with someone immediately and make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. That's steps 4 through 9. In three lines. And then I resolutely, I watch for when I'm drifting away, and then I resolutely turn my thoughts away from me to someone I can help. Doesn't have to be an AA person, anyone. Just turn your thoughts away from me. I have to do that. And then here's our code of living is on page 84. Love and tolerance of others is the code. Practice love. And they talked about that in the beginning of AA, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what love is, patient, kind, compassionate, considerate, LPTKCC. And tolerance of others means that I protect myself from getting disturbed by other people or situations, that I ask God to give me this shield so I don't get disturbed. And I need to have that shield on some days. And it's silly things we're talking about. Waiting in line, they're too slow driving their car. Something you see on the news or something. These little disturbances, I have to say, well, this is just the way this is or they are, and just not let it affect me. And I have that a power with God. I can do that. And I could also get disturbed if I want. Remember, the spiritual axiom is that if I'm disturbed for any reason, no matter what the reason, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. Now, a lot of people have written to me on the site that they don't like that spiritual axiom. I said, well, we're not going to vote on it. Because they don't understand. We're not saying that if you were raped as a child, you're not going to be disturbed by it. They're talking now in that spiritual axiom that's written in step 10 in the 12 and 12 of living in the now with God. And they're talking, and if you've done, they've assumed you've done steps 4 through 9. You've looked at these resentments and things that have happened to you, and you've forgiven, and you've changed the way you see them. And so how do I live in the now? And if I'm disturbed, something wrong with me, I'm disturbed. I don't want to be disturbed anymore. Disturbed is not good. It means I'm back in self. If I'm with God, I don't get disturbed. I have a situation. And we're going to see on the next page, there's instructions that we meditate on in the morning, that when we face indecision during the day, we ask God for the right thought or action, and then relax and take it easy, and the right answers will come. And so, situations, the serenity prayer, we said it before the meeting. Situations, circumstances, and how I get in the now with God. And if you live on this, your days will be pretty good. And then a hint, on 86, it says at night when you review your day, you ask yourself, where were you selfish, dishonest, resentment, or afraid? You get the hint? So during the day, these are the instructions to stay with God. And then at night, you inventory, when was I away from God? Now, some people write out these long nightly inventories. I don't care. It's fine with me. But for me, I know when I was disturbed. You know, I got upset, or I got afraid, or something bothered me. And I look at it at night, and I say, was I kind and loving to all? No. Was I thinking about myself? Yes. You know, how could I have handled it differently? And that's how you grow spiritually. We don't get perfect here. Progress, not perfection, but we want to keep learning the tools from God. I ask God's forgiveness at night, and what corrective measures can I have? And then the next paragraph we talked about Saturday, and this next paragraph I called the recovered promises or the recovered results. And a lot of people get confused with recovering and recovered. Now, the way they talked about recovery, because it says in the beginning of the big book, we are 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. So I heard somebody say, well, I'm not recovered. They don't understand that. Recovered means that my mind is not dominated by alcohol all the time anymore, or drugs. It's not a constant battle. I don't even think about it today. I guess I thought about it just now because I mentioned it, but it's not part of my life. And when I do, I see it differently. And so it says, and we've ceased, we're in the world of the spirit, we're at the bottom of 84, we learn these instructions on the paragraph I talked about, and I have an acronym for it, WADAT, W-A-D-A-T, watch, ask, discuss, amend, and turn. And then it says, if we're doing this, and if we're in this world, I've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. And I was fighting everything. That's a great promise. But it's not a promise. It's the result of being in this world, being recovered. And they're going to tell you how you get that at the end of the paragraph. For this time, sanity will have returned. I'm seldom interested in liquor. If tempted, now where am I tempted in my mind? I recoil from it as from a hot flame. That means that with God, I can see the truth about it. And I'll say, bad idea. Now on page 24, it says, we're like the person who keeps putting my hand in the hot flame. Because we keep drinking and we think it's not going to burn us. And now on page 84, when we're in the world of the Spirit, we have this relationship with God. I'm tempted, I recoil from it. Now I don't do that on my own power. See, I don't get smart and I say, oh, I'm going to... No, God says, recoil from it, Michael. Because remember, who gives me the power of choice over drink? God. I have no power over choice of my own. So if I'm with God, I'm going to cease fighting anything or alcohol. I'll seldom be interested in liquor. And if tempted, I'll recoil from it as from a hot flame because God has restored my mind to sanity. And the sanity they're talking about is seeing the truth about alcohol. I know if I take one drink, I'm not going to stop. It's over. You might as well just pack your bags, you know. And I know that right now. Now that could go away, but right now I know that. And it says I react sanely and normally, and it's happened automatically. It's not something you get a certificate. You don't earn this. It happens, and it happens because this is the you're in the world of the Spirit, and I could say the Holy Spirit, that's what I believe. And when I'm in the world of the Holy Spirit, I have this power, and these things just happen like this. And I'll see that my new attitude toward liquor has been given to me. It's been given to me without any thought or effort on my part. I don't have to fight it all day, right? And it says I cease fighting everything or anyone, even alcohol. And that's what recovered means. And it's a miracle. Isn't it a miracle? And think back to how you were the day before you got here and what your life was like, and then look at it now. It's a miracle. And It says, we're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. So if I'm in this world with God, and I'm working step 10, and which means I'm working steps 1 through 9 all the time, then I'm in a position of neutrality. I'm safe and protected. Now, who's put me in that position? God has. So if I'm with God, I'm safe and protected. If I'm not with God, I'm on my own. And so you're saying, well, I want this. How do I get this? And they're going to tell us in two lines. It says, I've not even sworn off. See, swearing off never worked, did it? Did anybody take the solemn oath to quit? Yeah, and it probably didn't make it through the day. I didn't make it through the day. And it says, the problem has been removed. It's just removed. Something has happened in my life that's removed this obsession the drinker used, has restored me to sanity. I'm not fighting anything or anyone. Now it says that's the dilemma that I have on page 44 and 45, is the dilemma is that I don't have the power to not drink, and I don't know how to find that power. So that's a dilemma, that's a problem. But it says, there's one who has that power, that one is God. And in fact, the exact words, I'm getting old, so don't call up New York, I forgot the exact words, but it says, lack my human resources on page 45 is marshaled by the will or not sufficient, right? Failed. Lack of power, that's my dilemma, because it's two choices. So I had to find a, and they're neither good. But I had to find a power by which I could live, and it has to be a power greater than myself. Right, Stu, what's the next word? Obviously. But where and how do I find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. That's why we study it, I study it. Its main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself which solves my problem. And that means we're going to talk about God. And now, the alcohol book is over on page 45. We're talking about God and how we find this relationship. And guess what? In 40 pages, we're there. If we do everything, and hold the book, it's not that many pages, right? And if you do that, then the problem's been removed. And the problem's only going to be removed if I'm with God in the world of the Spirit, with Him. And I could be sober 25 years, but if I'm not with Him today, I'm not going to see things through His eyes, I'm going to see through Michael's eyes, I'm going to be disturbed, and I won't really have a power to not drink today. But since it's been so long, it'll take a while. I don't know that one day separated from God, but if you do it and you keep getting further and further away, you lose that power. And it says, it does not exist for us. I'm neither cocky nor am I afraid. And you see, I don't have to fear it anymore. That is my experience. That is our experience. This is their experience, and it's my experience. So that's why I keep wanting to do this. That is how, now here's the key. It's a key line in the book that's not discussed much. Everything I just told you, that's how I react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. If I'm not in fit spiritual condition, have a party. And so the whole idea, step 10 and 11, is how do I stay in fit spiritual condition so that I can go through the day, I have a power to live, I don't have to go be full of fear, I don't have to be angry all the time, I don't have to make bad decisions and harm myself and those I love. So I think there's so much information in these three pages. And now we're going to cover one more paragraph, two more paragraphs, and then we'll be done. And then we'll be ready for step 11. So it says it's easy. Now remember, I have to have fit spiritual condition. It says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels. Laurels are my achievements. You know, I'm sober 10 years. I go to a lot of meetings, you know. I've got this. I know the big book. I could say it. I've been doing this meeting for 50 years. I'm Michael the Magnificent, oh, blah, blah, blah. No. We're headed for trouble if we do. Why? Because alcohol is a subtle foe, mortal enemy. And it's not just alcohol. It's my thinking is a subtle foe, my self-centered thinking. And when I'm in self-centered thinking and I get far enough away from God, then alcohol becomes a reasonable option if I'm full of fear, resentment, and shame and guilt, right? And so we're not, and it's subtle, right? It tells you, oh, I don't need to go to the meeting tonight. I don't need to pray tomorrow. You get it? It's subtle. It's your mind's telling you, you know, I've got this. I don't need God. I don't need to do these things. But it says, I'm not cured of alcoholism. Anybody think that's a true statement? Yeah. But I don't need to be cured. You know why? Because what I really have is a daily reprieve. Now, reprieve is like a stay of execution, right? When they're in death row, they give you a reprieve. So each day I want to get a reprieve from my battle with alcohol. Contingent on maintaining my spiritual condition. So I have to maintain a spiritual condition every day. Some days my spiritual condition is better than others. How do I know? Because on some days I get disturbed a little bit. I get worked up about something. And then I have to get centered back on God. And you're never going to have a day where you're not going to get a little disturbed, unless you're in a coma. I don't know if you can get disturbed if you're in a coma. I've never discussed it with people. But if you're awake and you're alcoholic, something's going to come up. We know it. But we don't have to react to it the way we used to, because now we're in a spiritual condition, fit spiritual condition. And so how do I maintain that spiritual condition? I do everything that I just talked about on the previous page. And then it says, every day is a day. Now, every day means every day, right? You don't get like a day off. Every day, I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. Now, what is God's will for me? Well, God's will for me is to be practice His character. It's to practice the character of God and the right-hand side of the card. Here, Stu, hand me the card. Love, honest, courageous, considerate of others, humble, giving and sharing, doing for others, calm, grateful, moderation, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, love for others, self-forgiveness, humility, seeking God's will, modesty, self-forgiveness, trust and faith. What else is God's will for me? To be a channel of His peace from the St. Francis prayer. I want to be a channel so that God's inside of all of us. God's character can come out through me. No, He won't come out through me when I'm angry, right, and I'm fearful. So it says I want to bring love, spirit of forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, joy. Comfort rather than comforted. Understand them to be understood, to love them to be loved. And it's by doing this and forgetting self that I find something. It's forgiving that one is forgiven. It's by dying to self that one awakens to eternal life. And this is the whole deal on there. And the other thing, like I say, what's the vision of God's will? How should I be? I want to be love, patient, tolerant, kind, considerate, compassionate. Because if I be that way, then my actions will reflect that. And you see, I'll cease fighting everyone and anything, even alcohol, if I'm loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. If I'm not, I may be fighting everybody. And then how can I best serve God, Thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So my thoughts constantly must be, how can I serve You all day, not me? So when I'm serving me, I get fearful, right? And I get disturbed. When I'm serving God, I'm at peace and I have situations and I ask God, how do I handle this situation? How do I react to this? And so the being leads to the doing. And then here's where you get your willpower back. It says, I can exercise my willpower along this line all I wish. So if I'm with God and I'm serving Him and I'm has a vision of His character, and these thoughts go with me constantly, then I can use my willpower because it's connected to God. So I can use my will as long as I want when it's plugged into God. Now, when it's plugged into me, then, and I use that will, then I make bad decisions. And that's the will that tells me to drink. It's okay to drink, and I don't want to do that. Remember the spiritual tools that we get a kit of spiritual tools, it says on page 25. they only work if you plug them into the right socket. So if I plug my tools into Michael's socket, good luck. If I plug it into God's socket, everything changes. So really what they're telling me every day is I need to unplug my socket or change your glasses. Some people say we get a new pair of glasses. When I'm disturbed, I got my glasses on, so I have to take them off, put on God's glasses. But it works if you do it. And I can exercise my willpower along this line. All I wish, it's the proper use of the will. And remember, we talk about self-will, a life run on self-will can never be successful. And a life run on God's will be successful. And so if I do these things that I've talked about on these two pages, then my life's going to change. My personality changes. It goes from self-centered to God-centered. We don't get perfect, don't get me wrong. And none of us do. That's why in Romans in chapter 7, Paul takes time to talk about there were a constant battle between the spirit and the flesh. And he says, I can't stop doing what I don't want to do. And I do what I don't want to do. And he had a battle. We never get perfect. But we have a power to go to help us. We're not alone anymore. And then it ends with, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we've carefully followed directions and everything I've talked about is 1 through 9 and then on these two pages, if I've carefully followed these directions, I've begun to sense the flow of his spirit into me. And I can feel that. It's a big change. When I came in, I was full of fear. I mean, anybody remember how bad it was? Full of fear. And I don't have that kind of fear anymore. I can get a little fear if I choose to, but not like it was, and I don't have to keep it. I've begun to sense the flow of his spirit into me. To some extent, we've become God conscious. That's what we want to have. We want to have conscious contact with God. What does that mean? It means I want to have, in my mind, consciously aware of this contact with God. Now, what was my problem when I came in? Conscious separation from God, living in Michael's world. I didn't even know it. I lived in my self-centered world, and I had conscious contact with me. It didn't work. That's why it tells you, give up on your plan. Do this. And it says, to some extent, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. So the sense that I know to go to God when I'm back in self. It's like automatic. And sometimes I'll get upset, not upset, but, you know, I say, Michael, why'd you stay disturbed for 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes? It's a waste of time. We've begun to develop, well, we must go further, and that means more action. So now they're going to talk about step 11, and then they're going to finish up with the final instruction of the steps on bottom of page 87 and 88. So, all right. Thank you, guys.